So we bring grace to you this morning from our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit who calls us together in fellowship. On this second Sunday of Easter, the story of the resurrection continues to echo in sermons from almost every pulpit where the gospel message is being preached this morning. And the why behind this is the mere truth that the resurrection is not only about the hereafter, but also it is about a relationship that God comes to establish with us. Not just a relationship, but a genuine relationship, an authentic relationship is what God comes to establish with us. The reason he does that is because we live in an environment where relationships are never guaranteed. They are here today and are gone tomorrow. Think about the relationships that have changed over time in your own personal life that can't go back to the way they were before, or that need to change but maybe can't. So we exist in tension and frustration and grief because we are not sure how to handle an accepted or acceptable demise, or how to negotiate what this means for our relationships in the future. Or think about the relationship that ended too soon by terrorist acts, the ruthlessness of illness, the not-so-random event of nature or nature's reaction, the sudden separation not planned, never anticipated, or so devastating. For whatever reason and for whatever cause. So our lives exist and are defined by lasting relationship. Notice I use the word lasting relationship because relationships on earth do last. So you have relationship like family relationship and job and friends and marriage and children, and the list goes on. Though they last, but they do come to an end at a particular time, leaving us with only memories of them. And this is the reason why many of us, we go back to pictures that we have taken in the past to remind us of people that were once in our lives that are no longer. We go back and look at those videos and pictures of events that we had in the past that are no longer, and it brings joy to us when we do those things. But it is not so with our relationship with God. This is the truth that the Gospel of John brings to us this morning. The point of God's revealed self in the Word made flesh, the Word crucified, the Word resurrected, and the Word ascended is a commitment like no other, just to show us what true relationship is like. So this is why I chose for a theme today, resurrecting to an everlasting relationship. Resurrecting to an everlasting relationship. Why I chose this theme is because the joy of our Lord's resurrection is established in the truth that we have all been raised with him. That's where it begins, in the truth that we have all been raised with him. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. It says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, and who raised him from the dead. So we were raised by our faith, and in our faith, we've been raised from the dead with Jesus Christ. And since we've been raised from the dead with Jesus Christ, then it means that we enjoy the everlasting fellowship that he brings to us. The scripture lets us know in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gives his one and only Son, that all those who believe in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. So when does this life begin? It begins now, or it begins in the future? The life begins now. Everlasting life begins when one is baptized in faith in Jesus Christ. He or she receives that life. And if you have that life, then it means you don't only have the life, but you have with it an eternal fellowship with God, an eternal relationship with God. An everlasting relationship with God is what we have. So our Lord Jesus Christ validates this truth as he appears to, appears to his disciple in our text this morning, and reassuring their hope in the relationship, an everlasting hope. So the first point in the text this morning we want to see is a relationship secured in his peace. Look at a relationship that is secured in his peace. Look in John 20 verses 19 and 20 what it says. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came, stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Now, in this text, in this assured peace, he seeks to release them from their fears, first of all. In the text, their fears of what might happen. The scripture tells us that they were locked up in a room, afraid that if they came out, that the Jews or the Romans were going to catch them and crucify them like they did Jesus Christ, because they were his followers. So being afraid of the future and what might happen, these guys locked themselves up in a room and refused to come out. And so Jesus Christ comes to give them back their peace because they were afraid. And you see, so he comes to them to give them back the peace that they had lost. And just like many of us today, we are afraid, all right? So we create our own little prisons and we lock ourselves up. We are afraid of ISIS. And that's what has taken over the news today. We are afraid of our past. We are afraid of failures. We are afraid of sickness. We are afraid of the future. And for some of us, we're even afraid of God. We're afraid because we're afraid of coming closer to God because we don't know what God might do if we came too close to him. And so we're afraid of all these things, and it's preventing us from really, really enjoying the benefit that God brings to us. So fear is disabling us from doing God's mission, or disabling us from enjoying the benefit of life in the way God has designed it to be. So Jesus comes because he knows that we live in a world that is full of fear. There might be some of us this morning who are afraid. You're afraid because you have a situation pending that you don't know what the result or the outcome might be. And you're in church this morning or listening to me on live stream. But as you do this, I come to encourage you that Jesus Christ comes in your life for this very reason. He comes because he knows that in this life we will have trouble. He knows that in this life we will have trials and temptations, and all these situations will come. But Jesus comes this morning to give us peace. Give us a peace that is very much indeed assured. It's what he comes to give to you and to me. Not a peace of his physical presence, listen, but rather a peace of his abiding presence is what he brings to us this morning. His abiding presence. If you notice in the text, he pronounces this peace three times in the gospel text this morning. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. He's trying to instill this peace inside of them. Not only being peaceful with the fact that I have risen from the dead, but have a peace that is within. Because the peace that is within us is the peace that passes all understanding. It is the reason why you and I are able to rejoice in the midst of circumstances. It is because of that peace that is inside. The reason why you can still come and lift your hands and worship God, even though you are going through problems and trials now, it is because of the peace that is inside. This peace inside of you, the world did not give it to you. This peace inside of you, the world cannot take it away. It comes from God to you. Give God a hand of praise for his peace this morning. It is the peace that keeps us going from day to day to day. The peace that causes the world not to understand us. They don't understand why we are the way we are. They don't understand why we keep sinking when we need to be crying. They don't understand why we keep coming when we need to be staying. They don't understand why we do this thing. But the reason we do it is because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The devil cannot do us no harm because Jesus lives inside of us. That's the reason why we keep on going on. Because of Jesus, we keep on keeping on. Not just because of his physical presence, but because of his abiding presence. This assured peace is evident in the proof of his resurrection also. The Bible says he appears there and he lets them see the nail prints in his hands, and he let them see the nail print on his side, on his feet, and the pierce that was done on his side. He let them see all these marks on his body to make them to be aware of the fact that, yes, indeed, he has risen from the dead. We can breathe a sigh now because God has brought hope to us. Hope has been born back into the world because Jesus lived. We can breathe that sigh now because we know that we will live also. We can breathe that sigh now because we know who holds tomorrow. We can breathe that same sigh this morning that the disciples, when they were filled with joy, we are filled with the same joy this morning. Now notice the comparison in the sending, in the text. He says, just as the Father has sent me, so am I sending you. This is a comparison that we need to pay attention to. That Jesus is saying, just as I came into this world and my whole life and my whole will was to do the will of the one who sent me, he says, just as it was, that's how I'm sending you. Just as it was that I came into this world so that sinners would be saved and brought from darkness into his marvelous light, so I'm sending you into the world. My friends, this morning, as we see this command from our Lord and Savior, it needs to trickle something inside of us and help us understand the importance of our calling as Christians. All of us in this room and everyone watching me live stream have been called to go out and share the gospel with the people we come in contact with. We need to do this at our places of work. We need to do this at our places where we go to school, in the mall, on the streets. When we come in contact with people and the opportunity exists to share our faith, we must do this because Jesus Christ said it. My whole will and desire is to do the will of the one who sent me. What is your will today, my friends? Now that you have been risen to this new life, now that you have the Spirit of God abiding inside of you, now that you have the joy of the Lord, which is your strength, now that you have God's peace all inside of you, what is your will? Your will must be the will of Jesus Christ, just as his will was the will of the one who sent him. This must be our will as well. He has said it in the text, look at it, that as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. This text must be high on our radar as we make our plans for the day, as we get out of our homes for the day. It must be in the back of our mind, not just to get all clouded out into our agendas for the day, but to make sure that we have this high on the priority list of our agenda for the day, that we need to share our faith whenever the opportunity arises to do that. It is the reason why we exist. Listen, the reason why the church exists on earth is so that men will be plucked out of darkness into the marvelous light of God. That's the only reason why we are here, or else God will take us home. He will take every single one of us home. There is coming a time when the church will be taken away. But until then, our work on earth is to build the kingdom of God. We need to build it every place we go. This is what we have been called to do. Now, not just a relationship assured in his peace, but look at the next point, a relationship assured, secured in his life. Look in John 20, verse 22. It says, and with that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. We know that the Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life who proceeds from the Father and the Son. We say this in our creed, in the Nicene Creed. It is said, all right, that he flows, he is the Lord and giver of life. Now, what is Jesus doing here? Breathing his spirit upon the disciples. The reason he's breathing his spirit upon the disciples is because the disciples cannot live out the life of God without the life of God, having the life of God. They need the life of God inside of them to be able to live out the life of God. And in order for us to live out our life, we need to have the Spirit of God living inside of us to help us live out the life of God. And this is why it is so important that every Christian rely on the Holy Spirit. Every Christian have the Holy Spirit. Every Christian that is born again, recognize the presence, the divine presence of God in our lives by the presence of his Spirit, which lives and abides inside of us. Because without the Spirit of God, we cannot enjoy the peace of God, because the peace of God comes from the Spirit of God. And we read that in Galatians chapter 5, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And when in naming the fruit of the Spirit, it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. That's the third one. Peace is it. We cannot have that peace without having the Spirit. What good is it if you meet a person out there in the street, and a person who lacks, and you say to him, be warm and be filled, without providing for them a blanket or some money or some food? What good is it? Your words become nothing. So Jesus Christ comes to the disciples and he tells them that my peace be with you. All right? But when he says that, he doesn't only stop there. He provides them what they need to have that peace. And what they need to have the peace is the Spirit of God. All right? It's just like meeting a person out there and telling them, be warm and be fed, and you walk away. That's not good enough. But you have to provide them so that they can be able to be fed and be warm. So Jesus did not only speak the word, but he provided what they needed to have what they needed. And that was to give them the Holy Spirit. He breathed it upon them. This morning, he's doing the same thing here in our hearts. The Spirit of God is with us to enable us. He's with us to empower us. He's with us to lead and guide and strengthen us on the path that we have been called to. But also think of it this way. The living word. The living word is Jesus Christ, right? And here is the living word breathing life upon the disciples. The living word. And I come this morning to tell you that just as he filled the disciples with the Holy Spirit, he is here this morning in presence of the written word. The written word is just as powerful as the living word. And so the word is powerful this morning. And as you're receiving the word this morning, the intent is so that the word will bring life to you, so that the word will bring encouragement and strength and health and peace to you this morning as you're receiving the word. Some people would say things like, you know, I wish I lived in the days when Jesus was on the earth. Well, my friends, I come to let you know this morning that by faith, Jesus is right here. He's right here in presence of the living word. And if you would embrace the word of God, just like you would embrace Jesus if he was here bodily, my friends, it would mean all the world for you. It's going to change your life. The word has the power to change our lives. The word has the power to save us. The word of God, my friends, is what comes to you this morning. So Jesus Christ gave them his word, and he breathes upon them the Holy Spirit. It is by us receiving the word of God this morning that we are empowered through the presence of the Holy Spirit. So not just only a relationship secured in his presence, or a relationship secured in his life, but the last point this morning is a relationship engulfed in his compassion. Look at John 20, verse 23. It says, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Look at this text very intently this morning. We can now see here that the mission of this relationship is compassion. The mission of the work that we've been called to is compassion. We release forgiveness for others as we also have received forgiveness. What this means is that God has given to us his forgiveness so that we can pass it on to others. All right? We become a channel of blessing. We're like the sewage line. You know, nothing should sit in it, but everything should pass through it. It is how we are. God has given us his grace. God has given us his blessing. God has given us eternal life. God has given us mercy from day to day. And the reason why we receive it is not so that we sit on it, but the reason why we get it is so that we can pass it on. It is so frustrating to come to understand that there are Christians in our world today who have refused to forgive others. How can you share the word of grace? How can you share the word of truth if you are holding hurts in your heart against people and refuse to release forgiveness to them? It makes it difficult for us to share the grace of God or even understand what has been given to us. Jesus Christ describes our situation when he used the whole story about the rich man and his servant who owed him a lot of money in the gospel parable. And he says this guy owed so much money that he could not pay for what he owed. And so the master released him of his debt because there was nothing he could have done to make up that money. Even if he gave all of his children and all of what he had, and even if he gave his own life according to them, it wouldn't pay for it. So the master was left to do nothing but to release him. What Jesus was saying is that the place that each of us stood in our sin, we were so bad off to the point where there was nothing that we could possibly do to become released of our sin. No works that we could do, nothing we could have said that would cause God to forgive our sins. And so God looks at the situation, and the only thing that he could have done was for he himself to settle the account. And that's how he came and died on the cross to bring us redemption. Now, when we understand this situation, it changes everything about us. But this servant did not understand what the master did for him. He went down the street and met a guy who owed him a few dollars, and he was choking this guy to death for the money. And somebody saw the situation, went back and told the master. So the master took his debt, put it back on him. All right? He couldn't pay the debt. And what happened? Well, he winded up into everlasting punishment. It's exactly what happened with a Christian who doesn't understand the concept of receiving forgiveness and giving forgiveness. And so this morning, as we look at this text, and as Jesus Christ has come into our lives, and as we enjoy this fruit of his resurrection and enjoy the fruit of the resurrected life inside of us, we must understand how important forgiveness is. Because until we understand this, we wouldn't understand why we need to go and give forgiveness to other people. And as a matter of fact, this forgiveness is something that we cannot give out on our own. It is drawn from the compassion that God has placed in our hearts. All right? It is engulfed in that compassion that God has placed into our hearts. And that compassion makes us to go out and share our faith. The compassion that we receive from God makes us to go out and talk to other people about the truth of the gospel. It is not from us, it's from God. And we go out and we search out lost souls and we bring them into the kingdom because of what God has done. And so we don't become selfish with it because of what God has done. We are not being selfish, but we become very compassionate about what we have received from God. Instead of becoming discouraged, we become encouragers. Instead of becoming cursers, we become blessers. And it goes on. And we invite all to participate in this divine blessing that God has brought to all of us. Why are we doing that? Mankind has this tendency of being selfish with what we have. We don't like to share. We don't like those things, you know, but we like to have everything to ourselves. But when God comes into our lives, it changes for the better. And it's the reason why we go out there and we are joyous when people come into our midst of fellowship. When we see new folks come in, we are happy about it because we're not selfish but what God has given to us. And with that same mindset, we go out into our communities, we go out into our places of work and school, and we share our faith with the people we meet and let them see the God that lives on the inside of us. This is what it is about. Friends, look at that text very intently. If you didn't get anything out of this message this morning, receive that. Receive the fact that we are channels of blessings, that the forgiveness that has been given to you has been given to you so that you would dispense it to others. And until we learn to do that, we are not doing enough. And we walk out of here today with that in mind, knowing that as resurrected people, people who are living in this glorious resurrected relationship with Jesus Christ, we come and we share in all that he has, and we become exactly partakers of it as we bring others in to partake as well. My prayer this morning is that the words from God this morning will touch your hearts and bring about a change in you, and not only become words of information, but become words of transformation. I pray in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people this morning say, amen. God bless you.